My name's Mia and I'm an addict.
Hi, Mia.
Oh, Christ. All day long in my head has been going, why do you do this to yourself? Why do you do this to yourself? And I phoned my sponsor before I came in. I went, why do I do this? And the answer is always the same, which is just to carry a message, really, and hopefully something that I say. Someone will go, oh, yeah. First of all, it's beautiful that just sat here with all the fear is obviously written all over my face. And I've sort of looked at some of the women in the room and they've kind of, I could cry even saying this, and they've kind of looked at me with a kind of reassuring, it's going to be all right sort of thing, and which is quite a far cry from how I would have reacted to that, what, 6-7 years ago, which I would have gone, what? What does she want? It certainly would have been a threat in some way. It would have threatened my sexuality, probably threatened the fact that people might fancy them more than they fancy me. Yeah. And today wasn't none of that. It was just a kind of thank you for smiling. Thank you very much. I did a share here a couple of years ago, and it was absolutely terrible. I was actually much more scared then than I am now, which is nice. There's a little bit of growth there. And then soon after, someone said to me, you should get that CD and listen to it. I thought, my voice is annoying when I'm not even listening, but the thought of kind of listening to that whole thing, and then about a year and a half later, I went, all right, maybe it was in. I thought, all right, maybe I will listen to it then. So I went and got it, and the guy in there gave me his copy because there wasn't any left, which I thought was because I was so popular. And so I listened to it. And so I listened to it back, and in actual fact, it was quite a kind of therapeutic thing. It was quite nice to, it was really nice to kind of, listen to me, really, because when I'm sharing, it's normally there's a manipulation in there somewhere. I'm kind of not quite, it's very rare that it's the bare bones with me, because I'm always, there's something in me that wants to make you like me. Always has been the same, with me. It really is kind of, and I've got an acceptance over that now. And kind of through listening to that back, it became really clear that and I knew it anyway, but it was just right in my face, that what I do is that, I crack jokes and I try and say word things in a funny way to either take away from what I'm trying to say or to ensure that you're going to like me, really. I always think that, and especially with this show, it's a little bit difficult because there's no kind of feedback or whatever. So it's like the more laughs I get, the more I think you're enjoying it. And although laughing in Narcotics Anonymous is a wonderful thing, but it's not the main reason we're here. So I kind of, yes, I'm going to try and not show off. Yeah, good luck. I am 6.5 years clean. And thanks very much. And I don't, that is literally ludicrous to me. Whenever I say that, I think, who is that? And you know what, I'm not really going to talk about my using that much, I don't think, because A, there's not enough time, and B, it's really boring. The bare bones of it is that I thought I was really good at something that turned out I was terrible at. And for years, I kept going, this is what I'm meant to do with my life. I'm meant to get, like, fucked up and be all entertaining and that. And it turns out that, A, it's exhausting, B, it's not me, and C, it makes me feel a lot of hate for myself, really. I can't handle the guilt and shame that comes with using anymore. Even the thought of it, the memory of that shame that I would feel the more when I woke up and not knowing where I'd been or who I'd been with or all of that, that is enough for me. Now, I haven't felt that in 6.5 years. I felt shame, of course I have, but that dread, not once, and that is enough for me to go, I don't ever want to feel that again. So kind of talking about my experience with Narcotics Anonymous, really. And I went to my first meeting when I was 16 or 17. And before I go into that, what I tend to do is that if I feel uncomfortable with things, and it's really important for me to say this out loud, if I feel uncomfortable in situations, I go one of two ways instead of being my authentic self. I either overcompensate and show off and swear a lot and get really blokey, which is a defence mechanism, and it stops people from coming and kind of making an effort with me. Or I go really kind of shy and geisha-like, which, again, definitely not me. And so I'm trying, and it's just a work in progress. Even now, I'm trying to work out who... I know I've got elements of both of those things, and I wouldn't mind being either one, but I'm just trying to work out who I am. But what I do know through working, and I've worked the steps, and what I do know through working them is that I'm absolutely not the arsehole that I told myself I was for years and years. I'm definitely not that. And I'm also the flip side of that low self-esteem, the ego that I carry around with me all the time. I'm not the most amazing person, funniest, like intellectual, well-read person in the room either. And for me, the key to living any kind of sustained happiness is accepting that that's all right. And I don't have to be the best and I don't have to be the worst. I just have to kind of have to be all right with who I am and what I'm trying to do. Oh, scared. Which is exhausting. And sometimes it's exhausting because I battle. That ego and low self-esteem can be a daily battle for me because I just... is still trying to work out what's me and what is me pretending to be something that I think you want me to be. And I get more, not more often than not, it's a lie. A lot of the time I get these kind of moments of what I deem as serenity where I kind of just sit back and there's nothing going on and I go, oh fuck, maybe that's what I've been, I think that's what they're talking about, and then it's gone. But it's still, even those moments, it's really freeing. So, my experience with NA is, I went to my first meeting when I was really young and I didn't really understand. I'd kind of been to one-to-one counselling for about 6 months and they'd said, you're definitely an addict and you need to go to rehab and you need to go to these meetings. And I thought, yeah, but everyone else does this. Why do I have to go? But I think that even then, I kind of knew that if I wanted to kind of have any... I'm really boring. I say this all, every time I share, I say this, but it's just my story. See, that's the overcompensator, and that's what I'm talking about. So I started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and the first one that I went into, I found it terrifying, obviously, and I just cried for about an hour and a half. And people kind of didn't really come up to me. It wasn't the fellowship that I see now, and I try and give back is that... If a newcomer comes in, they're all over them and going, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you need? That just wasn't my experience. I was left alone, really, and I think that I probably looked really young and I was crying a lot and I was stoned. Whatever the reason was, that just wasn't my experience to have the kind of, to have the fellowship hold me straight away. So I went away and I wouldn't say I was in recovery, and I went to a few meetings and certainly didn't take it seriously, but a seed was planted. But I'm fortunate to be quite a trusting person. And I kind of believe when people said that they weren't using them, well, I went, all right, they're probably telling the truth. And I didn't hear anything about steps or anything like that, but a seed was, like, sown. But I went out and used some more. And then I came back in again when I was 18. And each time that I came in, there was always this thing about rock bottom. Everyone was banging on about a rock bottom. And I thought, okay, well, I'll get one. But interestingly, the time that I got clean this time, at 24, there was no rock bottom. It wasn't a big deal at all. It was just nothing. I thought that it had to be some horrendous event in order for me to stop drinking and using, mainly because I thought I needed to have a really impressive anecdote attached to the reason that I don't drink anymore. And it was nothing special at all. I'd had millions of far worse experiences than the one that I stopped using on. And I think that's quite important for anyone new around, that it's just today can be the day. You don't have to wait for anything. The decision can be made today. And when I came in at 18, I took it a little bit more seriously that time. But what kind of happened is that, so I was in Dorset at that time where I lived, and I was like an 18-year-old, quite, even if I say so myself, quite attractive young lady. And some of the men in there, well, do you know what, the term 13th step is bandied round here, and it's almost, it's met with a kind of humorous undertone. And for me, do you know what, it's not funny, and it's... All cards on the table, for me, it's a form of abuse as far as I'm concerned. Sometimes it's sexual abuse, most of the time it's emotional abuse, every single time it's an abuse of trust. because when old-timers or people with multiple years of... Do you know what? I have to be really careful talking about this because, A, I get really upset, and, B, I get... if I'm not careful how I word this stuff, because I feel that it's such an important issue in this fellowship, before I know it, it's... Oh, my Christ, you weren't wrong. Before I know... I have to be careful about how I word it, because before... If I'm not appropriate, when you walk out of here, it's going to be, do you remember when Mia went off on one about 13th stepping? And not about what I'm at, not content of what I'm saying, which I think is quite an important message for certainly women, young women, any age really, who come into recovery, and that happens. And for me, my experience was that a man was incredibly inappropriate and incredibly mean, and the kind of fallout of that is that I used. And at the time, it was absolutely because of how he behaved. That's why I used. In hindsight, obviously, there's other reasons. But yeah, I think it's just important for people to kind of look at, fuck, people go out and use and die. And whatever the reason that they go out for someone else to get their rocks off, it's like, fuck, just go with someone who's over a year. Yeah, and I when I was kind of planning this share, and I have been planning it, that was always something that I really wanted to talk about and really wanted to share about. And I've really kind of tried to work a step three around that, because my understanding of step three is that I have my will and my life. My will is how I react to situations and life events. That's my reaction is my will. And if I hand over my will, I need to work out what God's will is for me. I don't like that word, higher power's will. And I think that, and in this situation, in the kind of the 13th step in situation, I just didn't... It's easy for me to go, look, do you know what, I can't be judgmental. I don't want to get involved. It's none of my business. But I kind of been hanging out with a lot of newcomers of late, and I've had the kind of honour of sponsoring a few of them. And some of the stuff that's going on at the moment, as far as kind of 13th stepping is concerned, is fucking outrageous. And I think that although on the surface it's none of my business, but if it's not my business, who is it? And I think the only way to kind of deal with these situations is for people to talk about them in rooms. I mean, I don't know that. That's what I believe God's will is for me. Is for me to like rock up at Narcotics Anonymous meetings and go, look, do you know what, this happened to me and it made me use. I'm fucking lucky to have got back here and have even 6 days clean, let alone 6.5 years. And I'm a lucky one. A lot of women don't. And again, don't get me wrong, it's not, obviously it's not just men. Women like to do that, and men or men, whatever. I think, but it's just, I think it's met with humour where it isn't appropriate. Message. Okay, I think I did that quite well. I've been really agonising how to do that. I've done it, now it's done. And you know what, back onto step three and stuff, is that kind of the way it's worded about it being a decision, it being a decision to hand our will and life over to the care of God as we understand him. A lot of people, myself included, have said, it's only a decision, don't worry about it, it's only a little decision. And do you know what, I don't think it is. I think that it's making that decision and then it's trying to the best of your ability, 100% commit to that decision. And it's like, for me, as far as like 13th step, and it is the last time I mention it, I promise, when I came in here, because of my experience and because of the other things that I've seen and heard, I made a commitment, not just a decision, a commitment to not have any to not have any kind of sexual conduct with anyone under a year clean. That was a commitment that I made, which is just as important to me as my commitment to this recovery, or as important to me as my commitment to step three on a daily basis. Okay, I'm done with that now. I think that what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me, another saying that's bandied around this room is, not this one, about life beyond your wildest dreams. When I first heard that, I thought that was the most ludicrous thing that I'd ever heard in my life. And materialistically, it still is quite ludicrous because I haven't. But kind of spiritually and emotionally, what work in the 12 steps has done for me has given me the opportunity to A, kind of get to know me and work out that I'm not an arsehole, and B, allowed me to interact in relationships with even humans who I don't even like. I can now interact with them in a respectful manner. What I've got this little thing that I always go by, and I try to a lot of the time, if not all the time, is that as long as I handle myself with integrity and dignity, everything else will take care of itself. That's all I need to do. I don't get it right all the time, but that's what I strive to do. With all of my interactions with people, that's what I strive to do. And when I don't get it right, which definitely happens, I go and say sorry. And for me, that's it, really, isn't it? It's like, understand, for me, as a human now, the way that I feel comfortable about myself is if I understand that I'm not perfect and I apologise when I do wrong and try not to repeat that mistake. I think that's it, really, isn't it? I think I might be done, aren't I? I've done it. It's over. I'm glad it's over. Thank you.